May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you very much, Father Bernard, for inviting me to speak here. It's a real pleasure to be with you here today. Last week in the Gospel reading in John chapter 3, the invitation to Nicodemus was to be born again. And today, in the following chapter, chapter 4, that we've just heard, we are given an example of what this being born again looks like in the life of the lady we know as the Samaritan woman at the well. I would like to give a 20th century example of someone who was reborn by drinking from the deep well of God's living waters and who has been ever since a vehicle for transformation in others. Her name is Etty Hillesum. Etty Hillesum's writing provides one of the most inspirational, important voices of our time of outer and inner uncertainties, chaos, and tensions. Etty experienced in her being that what happens outside in the world is an expression of the state of our inner being. And she believed, transform the inner being, and outer transformation is inevitable. Rowan Williams has called her a modern mystic. Etty was born in the Netherlands to a Jewish Russian mother, passionate and intense, and a Dutch Jewish dad, a headmaster of a secondary school, was calm, learned, and deep. They seem to have been polar opposites. The family was not religiously observant. Etty never mentions going to a synagogue. Etty had two brilliant young brothers, a concert pianist and a doctor, who both spent spells in psychiatric hospitals with mental breakdowns. Etty was highly intelligent. She had studied law and Slavonic languages, but like her brothers, was prone to inner chaos, which expressed itself in her life through her depressions, her promiscuity, and her voracious appetite for anything cultural. In 1941, at the age of 27, she realized she needed help. She found help in the form of a man called Julius Speer, a highly intuitive, therapeutic chirologist, a palmist, who had studied under Jung, who took her on an intense journey of healing that involved a strict regime of physical exercise, meditation, spiritual reading. She liked especially the poet Rilke, Jung, Russian writers such as Dostoevsky, but also the Bible and especially the Gospel of Matthew. Speer encouraged Etty to keep a diary as part of her new discipline. So what we know about her life and her thoughts is mostly from her diaries and some letters, which she wrote just for 2.5 years, from the age of 27 to 29. Her writings mark her spiritual journey. To begin with, in her diaries are all about preoccupations with herself, her own inner turmoil, her depressions and their psychosomatic effects on her life, her headaches and stomach upsets. The outward life of the Jewish people in Amsterdam in 1941, increasingly limited by anti-Semitic regulations, had an important but secondary place in her life. But over time, there was a growing sense of peace and order in the inner chaos. She could feel how she was being transformed, remolded, reborn in the deepest part of her being. After some months, she writes, "This afternoon, I suddenly found myself kneeling on the brown coconut matting in the bathroom, my head hidden in my dressing gown." Increasingly, this action of kneeling gave her peace, and she was able to listen to that hidden source within her. listening in, to hearken, became her way of connecting with what she started calling God. Remember that she was not a religious person when she started writing her diaries. As she found her inner healing and transformation in her connection with God, her lens becomes more focused on others. She expresses how she longs to be an agent of healing and transformation for others. She begins to work in the transit camp, Westerbork, the camp from which all the Dutch Jews were transported in freight trains to the concentration camps at the rate of about 1,000 a week, over 100,000 in total. By all accounts, she became a luminous figure of support. The final sentence of her diary is, "One should like to be a balm on many wounds." She and most of her family were put on the train in September 1943 to Auschwitz, where they all died that same month. She was 29. So why is Etty such an important voice for our time? In our time of unrest, conflicts, tensions, out there at any level, global, national, communal, as well as internal, our mental health crises and our anxieties, let's hear some of Etty's words speak into all of this. She wrote, "There is a really deep well inside me, and in it dwells God. Sometimes I am there too. But more often, stones and grit block the well, and God is buried beneath. Then he must be dug out again. And if God does not help me to go on, then I shall have to help God." What an extraordinary notion. She believed she needed to keep an uncorrupted place in herself to protect the presence of God in her. Etty absolutely refused to hate, but reflects the following in relation to the real suffering that occurs at the hands of others, and therefore there is that temptation to hate. Her attitude is so different from all the reactive violence so common these days and always. She writes, "Ought we not from time to time open ourselves up to cosmic sadness? Give your sorrow all the space and shelter in yourself that is its due. For if everyone bears his grief honestly and courageously, the sorrow that now fills the world will abate. But if you do not clear a decent shelter for your sorrow and instead reserve most of the space inside you for hatred and thoughts of revenge, from which new sorrows will be born for others, then sorrow will never cease in this world and will multiply." Etty had many friends who tried to persuade her to go into hiding, to try and escape the clutches of the Nazis. Her response was, "I'm in no one's clutches when I'm in the arms of God." Etty invites us to feel so safe in God that we too can be our authentic spiritual self, wherever that leads. Like Jesus, she refused to walk away from her authentic path, which would inevitably lead to her death at a young age. She wanted to share the fate of her people in all its facets. Then, in the midst of her horrendous circumstances in Westerbork, that transit camp, waiting for her call to go on the train at some point in the near future, she wrote in a letter to a friend, "You have made me so rich, O God. Please let me share out your beauty with open hands. My life has become an uninterrupted dialogue with you, O God, one great dialogue. Sometimes when I stand in some corner of the camp, my feet planted on your earth, my eyes raised towards your heaven, tears sometimes run down my face, tears of deep emotion and gratitude. At night too, when I lie in my bed and rest in you, O God, tears of gratitude run down my face, and that is my prayer. A week before she was taken on the train, she reflects in a letter to her friend, "How terribly young we were only a year ago on this heath, Maria. We hardly realize it ourselves. We have become marked by suffering for a whole lifetime. And yet life in its unfathomable depths is so wonderfully good, Maria. I have to come back to that time and again." Just as she started her train journey to Auschwitz, she wrote her last postcard to a friend and she threw it out of the train, hoping it would be picked up by someone. And she wrote, "Opening the Bible at random, I read, 'The Lord is my high tower.'" And a bit further, she writes, "We left the camp singing." I have been aware of Etty Hillerson most of my adult life. 12 years ago, I did the 30-day Ignatian spiritual exercises. It's a silent retreat of 30 days that utterly transformed my life. Ignatius was called a contemplative in action. He encouraged people to connect deeply with God, the well of living water, so that they would be able to see God in all things and respond to God by engaging more deeply in every day around them. Etty seems to be an embodiment of that spirituality, experiencing and embodying God's love even in the barracks of Westerbork, a pit of misery and existential fears. May this voice of World War II encourage us all to both drink deeply from the well of God's living water and then offer ourselves as instruments of peace for this world in our daily life, in our unique ways. Later in the service, we come to God with open hands and we signal as we receive the Eucharist, we signal, "Here I am, with my brokenness, my fears, my longings, here I am, as I am." And we are given a piece of bread and some wine, and God says to us, "And here I am." And then the two become one with nourishment from the deep well of God's love. Amen.
Amen.